All around them, the dusty lobby of the Adelphi Cinema, Wes Lowelton, silently waited. Doc pulled out his kerchief with the swallow's eye design and raised it to his beaky nose.
Your pardon, gentles all. You cannot possibly imagine how, after all this time, oh, such an eternity, it still has that flavor, warm velvet plush overlaid with dust, a little sweat, darkness and flickering footlights, laughter and tears, and magic, that above all. I can still savor the magic.
You remember vid houses, Doc? There hasn't been one open in Deathlands that I know of in 100 years.
Very nearly, my dear Mr. Cawdor. But shall a butterfly be broken on a wheel, or an old dog taught new tricks? No.
Time's wasting. Blood's flowing, and people dying.
There were about 30 of the gang around the building. Ryan had been impressed with Jack's grasp of military security. They'd been escorted back from the Holiday Inn, with guards ranged on either side of them, covering a couple of blocks in each direction. They carried a bewildering range of battered blasters, most of them either handguns or old hunting rifles that had their origins in Spain or Czechoslovakia. Pistols came in all shapes and sizes, virtually all showing signs of having been welded or having the bore enlarged. In the first couple of minutes, Ryan spotted Colts, Pumas, Pythons, Brownings, Enfields, Webleys, and Smith & Wessons, with a few Russian Stechkins and Makarovs. Predictably, because of the comparative ease of making ammo, they were some very old Colt Navies and Walkers. Lauren's renegade unit was comprised mainly of men and a lesser number of women, mostly between the ages of 15 and 30, a few of them older. They all looked scruffy, in patched clothes. And all of them looked as though they never quite got enough to eat. The one characteristic that they shared, and that set them apart from most of the population of Deathlands, those that weren't muties, that is, was an alertness, a hair-trigger readiness. Jumpy and sharp, their eyes were constantly on the watch. They were a bunch of ordinary people doing the absolute best they could. Ryan thought then about what Jack had told them about his hopes and plans, and once again felt how much he wanted to help the snow-haired lad. But still at the core of his heart was Christy Roth. Ryan was already calculating. How many men, day or night, frontal raid or try to sneak in? Whatever happened, there were men and women in the old cinema who would be dead within 24 hours. Jack Lauren held up a hand for silence.
Quiet! These damn got good guns. Help, we help them get women away barren. This is big one, friends. We hit hard, and maybe win forever.
There were about a dozen of what Ryan figured were the top hands in the outfit. All had the killer look around the eyes and mouth. It was immediately obvious that they didn't much care for having four strangers suddenly in their midst. A tall woman arose from her seat. Her lower jaw was disfigured with a livid scar zagging across her neck.
Why the fuck we need them, Jack?
You don't need us, lady. Way I see it, if you keep alive and Tamar doesn't get any stronger, in about 50 years you might be able to put a real fucking fright up him.
There was a general relaxing of tension, but the woman spat on the floor and turned away in obvious disgust.
I don't like a bad winner, lady, but I hate a fucking sore loser.
Ryan was pushing it deliberately, knowing that this wasn't a place to back off even an inch.
Let it lay, Z. We voted, and they in.
These women he got mean a lot to you, brother?
Do muties shit in their pants?
Ryan even raised a grudging half-smile from Z.
That's enough. There's some serious talk to go down. We know his place. Even got plans from city files. What we didn't have was blasters and mercies. Now we got them.
Not fucking mercies, kid. We go where we want and chill who we want to chill. You need us more than we need you, kid.
Suddenly there was a flicker of light, and Jack was in a classic knife fighter's crouch in front of Finn, the blade dancing from hand to hand, faster than the eye could follow.
Don't call me kid, fatso.
Ryan knew better than to try and step into a scene like this. Finn, despite his chubby, amiable exterior, was a bloody-handed killer and was quite capable of drawing on the boy and spreading him all over the far wall. If that happened, things would get hot.
Don't call me fatso, kid.
Jack was balanced on his toes like a windblown feather, watching Finnegan, red eyes locked on the older man's face.
You got balls, Fatso.
Kids like you, they got lots of gall but no fucking sand. I could drop you before you could use the knife, kid.
Sure you could. You're here because you're good, Fatso. Heard you chilled some sec man this morn. You draw, you maybe hit me, but you're on your fucking back looking up at sky, wondering why you wanted to be a prick.
Ryan could see a real risk after the first combustible moment that they might talk one another into killing each other.
Enough. That's it.
Ryan could feel the ripple of disappointment around him. For a kid of 14, Jack Lauren had some serious respect from his people. They really thought he could take Finn. Maybe he could. Ryan wasn't going to find out.
See this crown on my wrist? It's gone noon already.
Sure has. You're right, Ryan.
The slim knife disappeared as quickly as it had sprung to his hand. Though Ryan was watching him intently, he hadn't seen where the boy had hidden it. The place was badly lit with a row of flickering lamps in glass bowls with swimming fish engraved on them. At one end of the sloping room was a massive maroon curtain with golden tassels draped across it. From what he recollected, Ryan guessed that there would be a screen behind it. JB moved casually against the right-hand wall. It was second nature for the armorer to seek out a position where he had his back against something solid.
We talk about how we do this?
Sure. Talk plan. Can't go until after dark. They're too ready. Tomorrow's no fool. Before talk, we'll show something to you. Rare. From before the quick sick came.
Got any food?
Sure. Always ready. Talk. Then go in and get the prisoners.
Ryan spotted something in the use of the word prisoners. Something that meant more than just Laurie and Christy.
How many prisoners, Jack?
Three.
Three?
Yeah. Not for last, Mephisto's Sekman Snack Squad got lucky. Picked up my father. This time tomorrow, will he kill them all.
Then let's get to it.
The boy nodded, solemn-faced, the cascading white hair framing his skull like a silver halo. The two Sekmen came in a couple of minutes after the giant Vilchief had lumbered clumsily out. They were both small, with sallow complexions, looking as though they'd been standing out in the rain for too long. When they spoke, Christy heard the nasal tones of the bayous and guessed they came from Cajun stock. The one with a small mustache looked around 30. The other, with a three-day stubble on his chin, was nearer 20. Both men carried greased M16 blasters. There hadn't been time for Christy to do more than hiss a warning to the sobbing Lori to try to hold out and tell them nothing. Then the Sekmen were walking cockily to stand between them.
Yellow hair or red?
Yaller.
Why?
Already got her snatch warm and waiting. Red's got her sewn up in her pants. Baron might guess if we caught her naked.
The one with the mustache, called Neil, ran a hand under Lori's disarranged skirt. She wriggled at the touch.
Warm in the weather, lad. And yellow as possum's guts.
You do that one more time, you sack of cancerous pus, and I'll snake on you to the fucking Baron.
He don't care. Long as we don't do no mortal hurt, he don't give a fuck.
Why not do yellow first, then fuck red in the mouth and see how she like it?
I'd bite it off, if it's big enough to get my teeth in.
First off.